Okay, so please state your name, profession, country of origin, and where you work and live at the moment.
So I'm Jan de Winne. I'm from Belgium. I work in Brussels and in Paris as a teacher, and I work also. I mean, I have a group, chamber music group, sometimes small orchestra, Gardolino, and I work a lot performing too.
All of
And
that with the traverso.
with the traverso, yes, and I make traversos, yes, I make
Okay.
flutes too. Yeah.
Thank you. Do you own any copies of Otterdag, Rothenburg, Fader, or Grenzer traversos?
I own copies that I made myself. So I, of course, I played copies by other makers. So yes, I have those instruments.
Okay. And you already told me you build traversos. Have you already built any copies of these three instruments,
Yes.
these specific three models?
Otterdag, yes, I did.
All of them.
Also, yeah, but if you say Father Rothenberg, I make the copy of the 2001, which is at 400 the pitch. That's like the a very good instrument in the Brussels Museum. But I also make Father Rothenberg on 415, which is then after several originals and with serious corrections in the board that I did to make it work at 415. So my idea was to make a flute which behaves like an early flute with more weight and a darker sound and rich sound, but which works well at 415.
Okay, so you built more than one of each of these three
Yes,
models, at least.
yes,
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
yes.
In a maker's point of view, in the construction point of view, which are the main differences between these three flutes in general? I know there are probably many.
Well, from just a concept, so the older you go, let's say, Otterdag, well, one main difference is the pitch. Otterdag is low pitch, even lower than 392. And so the dimensions of the bore will match that choice of low pitch. So now for the Otterdag, the head joint bore is not that big, but then the whole conicity of the middle joint and the foot joint, which is not really conical but cylindrical with maybe some change in the middle. That's very different from the Rothenberg and even different from the Grenzer. If you see the evolution from the three, is that actually Grenzer will want the flute to work very well in the high register. And to make the high register more brilliant, the bore of the head joint is slightly smaller. And the conicity is also more developed in the flute so that it pushes up the octave easier. And in the middle of the two, of course, is the Rothenberg, which will have a bigger bore in the head joint, which makes that the air column in the flute is a little bit bigger and will give more resistance. So it will react slower, but when it reacts, it will give this warm and darker sound than the Grenzer. Grenzer will be lighter and even maybe on a first impression less loud, but because of the tone color and the projection, it carries very well. Well, so that's my concept of the flutes and the difference that I see.
Yes.
Yeah.
In how experienced are you on playing these three different models? Have you played a lot of each three of them?
I've played a lot of Rothenberg and Grenzer. I have played Otterdag, but I prefer another model from the same period, Rippert, that I also make because it's the bore is a little bit bigger and I find it more flexible. But yeah, I have.
Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah.
And in your opinion, in a performance performer's point of view, which are the main general differences between these flutes? You already said the higher register is easier when you go
Yeah.
later in
Well, yeah,
time.
you can actually look to flutes in the evolution. They always have like a central note, which is the golden note, the best note of the flute. So for a hauteur, this will be maybe at the end of the first octave, or maybe the middle D, which is, wow, the center of the flute. And then you can go maximum to the high G and go to the low G, and that's like one octave where it's really working like, yeah, like a dream. And the later you go, the middle note where everything turns around will be higher. So like
Okay.
for the Rothenberg, I would say it's like the F sharp of the second octave. And for the Grenzer, maybe the A, the high A, and up to the third octave.
Okay. And the articulation, does it change also?
Of course, it depends on every copy, but the hardest work is the hot air, because you have to put a bigger air column and vibration, so the articulation will be harder work and less clear, and the clearest articulation should be with the Grenzer, mm-hmm. normally. But again, that depends on the copy you play, on the quality of the embouchure. The smaller diameter of the embouchure, the faster the flute articulates.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, like for Rottenberg, the limit for me is 8.8 millimeters between the two walls and the direction where you blow.
Mm? Mm-hmm.
There. When you go to 9, it still works, but you will lose a bit of articulation.
Mm-hmm.
You can still go a little bit bigger. You will have the impression that the flute sounds louder, but the projection will not be as good.
Mm-hmm.
And a recent observation from flutes of the years 1730, 1740. Actually, there are in France a lot of flutes with very small embouchure, so you could think, wow, too small, but it's so you cannot give a lot of pressure in those flutes, but yeah, they articulate really fast,
mm-hmm.
so you have to adapt and get into that role.
Okay, thank you. did you ever try any original Hotteterre, Rottenburg, Fader or Grenzer flute? And if yes, how many and from which collections, if you remember?
Hotteterre, I could never try it. And then Rottenburg, yes. In the Brussels Instrument Museum and in the Antwerp Instrument Museum, I tried mm-hmm. many. Then, of course, there in Brussels also a lot of Godefroy Adrien Rottenberg. So I tried everything that is in the museum in Brussels
mm-hmm.
several times. And Grenzer, yeah, some friends have originals. I myself have an original, and I went to the collection of Peter Spoor. As I said this morning, actually, if you can visit
yes.
private collections.
It's just to be in the recording.
Yes.
And were they well preserved in general, the originals you tried?
Not all of them, no.
No.
Some were. Mm-hmm. Of course, in a private collection, it's always better preserved.
And in the different Rottenburgs you tried, for example, mm-hmm. or in the different Grenzers you tried, were they very different from each other, the originals?
Well, for Rottenberg, I can say yes, because I looked carefully and they were even in the same museum, they had like 5, 6, 7. They all look different. I have the impression the flute maker tried to make a good flute, so he didn't have like a, let's make an exact copy of the one I made last year.
Yeah.
So they are different in finish. When you play on them, well, some are better preserved than others, so the judgment is not easy. I didn't measure all of them. You could see, but they all use the same reamer, so they at least probably the inside will resemble
mm-hmm.
the outside, the way the holes are carved. There are variations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to explain. Even if you try to do the same, you do it by hand and you can make a small mistake. Then it's not ruined. If it's in the beginning, you can adapt by making the balance with the other holes. So that could explain the variations between
mm.
that each time it's a kind of improvisation to get to the same results, but visually it will look mm-hmm. a little bit different.
Okay. And were there many differences in the performance point of view between the originals and the copies of those flutes that you've tried so far?
Yes. There are very good copies around, but it always stays very different from the original. You never get the same sound because the wood is not 200 years old.
Yes,
and apparently this is something with the aging of flutes that you cannot copy.
Mm-hmm.
You can also remark on top of that that, of course, when they were new, they weren't 200 years old. So maybe the copy can be closer to what it's intended to be.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never know.
Yes. As a maker, and if you already built, and you said you did, any kind of these flutes, how did you get the right measurements and structural drawings? Or have you made them yourself by observing?
So Hotteterre I got from somebody else, as I didn't visit. But the other flutes I measured myself. So, and I compared with existing drawings, but it's when you measure yourself, you spend time with the instrument and you see more details.
Of course. And I know you spoke about this already before, but it's to be recorded. Have you made yourself changes from the copies, in the copies that you made regarding the originals, or from the drawings you got? Have you made any changes? And why?
Well,
I know you just spoke about that.
I will start with the Grenzer. Most original Grenzers are higher in pitch than 430, so you need to make them longer, so you already have to adapt. Then, yes, small changes, changing a hole 1 millimeter further to get a more, so that I could make the E, the sixth hole, a little bit bigger, so that you have more sound. Yeah, there are always small changes, even on a philosophical level you don't want, but on a practical level you want to make a good flute, and which, yeah, you will find all the octave of the C is too small, so you know where you have to take a little bit of wood, and you already do a change, but yeah.
Okay, just two more questions. If you would have these flutes available for you, and you have probably at all times, how would you choose between which one to play according to the piece you have to perform? What would be your criteria, just historical or also your own tastes about how it sounds?
Well, I wouldn't play Mozart on Haute Terre, so because the three choices you give are very easy. But between the Grenzer, let's say playing Bach on the Haute Terre can be fantastic, the Partita or Telemann pieces. But if you have to play with others and you need 415, it will work very well on the Jean-Hyacinthe Rothenburg. Mm-hmm. If you play more classical, you play Grenzer. You can play Bach on Grenzer, but it will feel like too tiny or too narrow for that music. So it's that part of habit, tradition. It's a mixture of taste and historical conscience. Probably the flute evolved, and historically Bach didn't know about a Grenzer flute with a smaller bore. So it's normal. Had he seen such a flute, maybe he would have written in a higher register. Mm-hmm. But that I don't know.
Yes, so the last question that you already partially answered right now. In your opinion, and in the historical informed musical performance point of view, do you think it makes any difference which specific model of flute it's chosen to play a piece of music according to the composer and the year, or more or less the time of composition and the geographical location? Do you think that changes really something, or it's not that important?
As a performer and even as a public, it's not important. I want to hear the music, not the flute. And in that sense, it's as a historical informed performer, something you do because you think it gives you extra inspiration. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that in the end, first of all, it's no guarantee that your performance will be touching and moving the public. And on the other side, you can be very touching and moving on whatever instrument you use. So it's just only an instrument. It's not the music.
Yeah. So
it's a tool.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Just put this off.